Let us turn in our Bibles to Psalm 38. And I'll read the whole of the psalm. It's a psalm that speaks of great emotional earnestness in searching after the Lord. Let us begin to read with verse 1. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure, for your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation. And there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants. My strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Those that also seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus, I am like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth there is no response. For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips they exalt themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin, but my enemies are vigorous, and they are strong, and those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries, because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, do not be far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, of my salvation. May the Lord bless this reading to our good understanding here this morning. Often when I return from vacations, I share with you some scripture that has meant a lot to me during the break, and it's so with this one. I think we were so tired in our leaving here, I think it took us 2 weeks to simply recover and begin to feel normal again. I know the first week I was sleeping every afternoon, I kept taking naps, and when you rest and do that sort of thing, and you don't seem to have any aspirations, and you seem so weary, you wonder whether God is done with you. You know, you wonder if you've just reached the end of your road. And I remember turning to this psalm one day, and the Spirit of the Lord used it to knit my bones back together and to give me renewed strength, because I thought if another one of the saints could feel this weary and this undone, then maybe there's hope for me. One of the things that I got from the psalm and I thought would be appropriate for this communion season is the sense of really needing the Lord, really needing the presence of the Lord. And so that's the sermon title, really needing a sense of God's love. When we come to the table of the Lord, we ought to come with a desire to be with the Lord, to commune with the Lord. We all know what it means to commune with each other personally. You know what a good visit is. You know if you're married, you know what a good relationship is in your marriage, where you have a sense of communion with one another If you have friends, you know what it is to commune with one another and to have a sense of a communion with friends. Well, we ought to have a desire for that because this is what we're about today. And to come to the table of the Lord with anything other than an urgency, with a desire to be with God, is a fracture or a transgression of the third commandment of taking the name of the Lord God in vain. Because here we are, we're coming to the table that the Lord has prepared for us, but we come, is it possible then to come in a lackadaisical manner? This is God's special provision for us. Is it possible then to come in a merely perfunctory way, in an outward manner where we go through the motions on the outside, but there is no real heart need within us? Well, you see how that would be a transgression against taking the Lord's name with sincerity, with coming to the Lord in truth and spirit. It's the very opposite of that. And so we see here in this psalm a very good example of a saint whose heart is aflame, whose brain is aflame with need for God. God is his only hope. And if we cultivate that sense of that in our own hearts, I believe that that is helpful for us in the enterprise about which we're on to. Now, I would just ask you then, does your heart cry out? If not, let us look at these words and let us either get ourselves in the proper gear for communing with the Spirit of God, or press ourselves into that mold. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God promises that His supper is associated with the holiness of His presence. Regardless of the numbers or the room size or the church construction or whatever, where God's people are, where two or three are gathered together, God says, there I am in the midst of you. So we cannot come casually to worship, and we certainly cannot come casually to partake of the Lord's Supper. When we look at this, psalm, we see that there are two major ways that we can see relevancy to this. The psalmist is crying out in anguish, needing the Lord. We can see two ways in which this is relevant to the human being. The first way is to those outside of grace. In other words, you can read this psalm and you can think to yourself, well, this is a fairly good depiction, a fairly good description of a person outside of grace, who though is sensitive, has become sensitive to his need through the work of the Holy Spirit driving him to see his need of the gospel. We read in verses 1 through 8, and then verses 17 and 18. Well, especially verses... I'll start with verse 1. Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure, for your arrows pierce me deeply and your hand presses me down. This can certainly be understood and applied to the person outside of grace, to the person who yet does not know union with Christ. A person who knows nothing in terms of a friendly spirit, a friendly posture from God. A person who is unsure of his salvation. A person whose mind has become more and more alive to the fact that there is a God. And that he has no protection from this God, for this God is righteous and holy and good. And he is corrupted and evil. He does not have the Lord at the forefront of his mind. He does not live in terms of aspiration. He does not live for God in terms of an all-consuming purpose. God called us to have Him as our all-consuming purpose in this life. And so when we're outside of grace, but the Holy Spirit brings us to a sense of how this ought to be the case, and then we can become afraid of the wrath of God. We can become afraid of His hot displeasure. And we can begin to feel the arrows of His righteousness pierce our souls. And so the verses 3 through 8 have a special poignancy for us. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation. And there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble. Have you ever felt feeble in the Lord? And severely broken, I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Now, this can apply to the person who is under conviction by God, who the Holy Spirit is working upon, and they are feeling utterly awful because they are so far from God. They have a sense of being so far from God. And as they're far from God, the Spirit of God communicates with them something of the awful corruption of their hearts. These are things that people are not really considerate of outside of grace. But when the Holy Spirit begins to work upon a person, it can become a terrible thing. And people have described a sense of sickness and a sense of feeling awful because the Lord has enlivened them. He's given them the eyes to see their sin, and yet not given them the eyes to see that the cross is for them. And so there's an ignorance of spirit and a need for rebirth or a reignition of the soul. And if we have a sense of this, we can really feel bad. And men feel this outside of grace if God blesses them with some insight. And they can have a great sense of a need for communion with God, and yet they can feel like it's a complete impossibility. At this point, they're only afraid of the wrath of God. There's no sense of God's love. There's no sense that Christ has died for them. But we can certainly see the application of this. I don't know whether you felt this. Sometimes when we grow up in covenant homes, we don't have such a great sense of this coming into the fellowship of Christ. Oftentimes, though, we still have a sense of it. But this is the first way that we really get a sense of a need for God's presence. In this case, we would need His presence in the way of the gospel. We would simply need Him to come and to wrap us up in His arms and say, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's the first sense of this. Now there's a second sense of this for those of us who are within the covenant of grace, who are within the family of God. We're not ignorant of spirit in this case, but God has given us increased insight. And we can feel this way not because of an absence of the Spirit, but because of the presence of the Spirit in our lives. In other words, the Lord works with us. The Holy Spirit works with us. And we develop then a greater sensitivity to righteousness and the things that we need. When the Lord is not working with us, when we're absent from the Spirit and the Spirit is absent from us, we are apt to walk around like zombies, as I have used that metaphor in the past. We're apt to exercise a certain amount of strength. In the movies, the zombies have almost an extraordinary strength in one sense, and yet they're the walking dead. They're not really alive. Now, in Christ, the Lord has made us alive, and sometimes that liveliness, increased insight, that knowledge of ourselves, that can drive us half crazy. Because the more we understand about Christ and ourselves, the more we understand how incomplete His redemption is for us. We know how incomplete our sanctification is. We can see how far we are from the kingdom in the sense of its perfection. And that can make us have these same feelings. This psalm was written by a believer. It was written by David during one of his times of chastening, when things were not going right for him, when he de facto or in fact he was not the king of Israel. He was a mere scoundrel in the eyes of many of the people of the land, on the run, without a throne. And David was a very sensitive person. Anyone that writes psalms like this is a very sensitive, intuitive person. A person who is very vulnerable to being hurt. A person who is more sensitive than the average person, especially the average guy. We men can be kind of male zombies, even in the kingdom, walking around. what am I really supposed to do? But David was not like that. David was a very sensitive soul. And it's out of his spiritual sensitivity that these words come. You might feel that you're too manly for this. Or you might feel that as a Christian, these kinds of thoughts and feelings should never come into your mind. But if you are sensitive in the Spirit, and if the Spirit is working upon your life, then these thoughts and these feelings may very well be yours in the best sense of the word. It's not because of a failure. It's not because of imperfection. But it's because of perfection that you have these thoughts. There is no soundness in my flesh. Separated from Christ, what soundness is there? Because of your anger, we're aware of how far short we fall from God's perfection, and we're aware that God's anger is often applied to us because we wander, because we just don't care about the things that we ought to care about. He says, nor is there any health in my bones because of my sin. Do you know the bone of our body is so important for our health? It's like the dynamo. It's like the dynamo within our bodies. It produces the red blood cells, the marrow of the bone, and it provides strength for us. It's the structure that holds up the rest of our body. Now, if the bone is sick, when I hear, as I did so often in the hospital, of people who had cancer of their bones, I know right away that they're in trouble. It's very deep into the heart of the body. And the psalmist here, David, he says, now he feels like there is no health in his bones because of my sin. At the very core of his personality. In Christ, we want to be healthy, we want to be well. And yet here, he senses at the very core of his personality, he senses weakness, he senses frailty. He says, oh God, why can I not be perfected now? Why do I have to go through this travail, this trail of sanctification, which is so difficult? Where I am not perfect yet, and it's constantly in my face that I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that. You see, this is a sensitivity that comes to us when we're in the covenant of grace. He says, my wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I'm an older man, but I still feel there's so much foolishness in my life. I wish it were over. I wish I were through it. I need Christ. My soul cries out for Christ. I need this supper. I am troubled, David says. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Well, if we meet other Christians who are mourning all the day long, sometimes we just write them off. Oh, they just can't get themselves together. They can't snap to. They can't get with the program. Maybe they have some special inspiration by God in terms of understanding themselves. David said, for my loins are full of inflammation. and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. This is the same, the psalmist that could rejoice and exalt in the Lord, but on this day he only had a great sense of need for God. And so in verses 15 and 16 and then 21 and 22, we have these two passages where we see that God is David's only hope. Verse 15 and 16. For in you, O Lord, I hope. I mean, there, he also speaks of people pursuing him both before and after this. And so it's only in the Lord that he finds hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God, for I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips, they exult. Now, some of us, we might have a fantasy that if we died, there might be people that would be sad. But David, peering into the minds of many of his countrymen, knew that if he died, that there would be many who would rejoice and say, well, we're rid of that slouch, you know, that slug, that person of such low spirit and presence. And then he closes the psalm in the same way, do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. And so I'm arguing here that this is the attitude of heart that we need to cultivate coming to the Lord's table. Because here God spreads a table out before us to feed us. These are tokens, visible tokens of His love, of His grace. He says, even though you guys aren't yet saints in the sense that you're fully perfected in the flesh, you are saints in the sense that I accept you as saints. And He says to us, which is more important, your brain or mine? You may be depressed about yourself, but I am happy because you are in my beloved. You are my faithful sons and daughters. I love you. I embrace you. I wrap my arms around you. I accept you. Come unto me, and I will feed you. Feed on my flesh and my blood, for they are given for thee. The body of Christ was broken for our sin. We remember that the blood of Christ represented the perfection of Christ. It represented the lamb without blemish. It was the blood from that lamb. It was shaken out toward the people of God with a hyssop branch, indicating to them that they were sanctified in the righteousness of the lamb. And Christ our Lord Jesus took this perfect life of His and let it be hung upon a cross. Let it be broken. Let it be crucified. That He might both pay the penalty for our sin and then give us of His righteousness so that His Heavenly Father could accept us and welcome us into the family of God. Invite us to tables like this that we might eat and drink together with Him. So the question is, do we have a hunger for the consolation of the Lord? Do we have a need for what God offers us here? Are our hearts energized to seek and to receive that which God has for us? I pray so. I pray that this is the desire of your heart, to commune with the Lord, to have a sense of His presence here. I hope that you hunger and thirst. I hope that you have some anguish of heart over needing the Lord, and that you will then come to the table and enjoy that which the Lord has for you.